Welcome back to Hour 2 of the Hollywood Casino Press Box, featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Back with you on 590 The Fan, Hollywood Casino Press Box. Martin Kilcoyne in for Frank. I think Monday, Tuesday of next week. Frank's going to be back on Wednesday, a little vacation with the missus, the lovely Monique. She's probably podcasting previous shows of the Press Box just to get caught up on all the topics she's missed, if I were to guess incorrectly. Monique, who is famously for 25-plus years not listened to Frank's radio show, which is why he can openly talk about all of these hot women that he is mildly interested in, that he's been watching on late night TV. He does kind of ogle certain women, and I think he knows Monique is not listening to the show.
Maybe that's why he hasn't done that with the Sopranos yet, in terms of ogle some of the actresses.
She's part of the well, but she's watching the show with him, but that's not the, it's just the fact that she doesn't listen to this show. Cut up, Earl Austin Jr. will check in from San Jose. Billikens play around 9 o'clock tonight. First round matchup, Virginia Tech, who is the 13 seed, and really that opening day, you did have the Murray State Marquette quote-unquote upset, but for the most part, they like to call it chalk, the higher seeds winning, so you're wondering today, does the script get flipped, and you look for a lot of just weird upsets. Iona's not going to beat North Carolina. I think that's fair. Could Liberty beat Mississippi State? That's a 12-5. Yeah. Northern Kentucky over Texas Tech, probably not. UC Irvine, know nothing about them. That's a 13-4 with K-State.
That's a maybe only because K-State's not completely healthy.
Right, and then you heard Bruce Weber the other day say that Dean Wade will not be back. So a 13-4. Somewhere today it's going to happen. You'll get one of those weird ones. But SLU is a 13-4, so I think that bodes well, even though it means nothing. If you're a Billiken fan, it bodes well for you that somewhere, somehow, we're going to get some of those today, since the opening day featured very little surprises. Blues winners again. You had the hat trick on Tuesday for Jaden Schwartz. Thursday, as we predicted on the show yesterday, I believe, during the Five for Frank, we said...
Might have been a remote issue there.
You didn't
audio
hear
might
it?
Be lost.
Yeah, I think it cut out, but I said that Ivan Barbashev would probably have a hat trick on Thursday night, and he did. Blues winners over the Red Wings, 5-2. Blues in their four-game homestand, starting with two straight wins, locking up a playoff spot, not officially yet, but they're at 99% in the latest playoff projections. We gave David Solomon an assignment as well. I said there'll be a lot of Red Wing jerseys there, not shirts, not winged wheel T-shirts, but actual jerseys. Iserman's, the Legacies, Lidstrom, you name it, because they always show up at those Blues games. It's not the rivalry it once was. So I said at least 500. And Chuck's reaction, Marlo, was, ooh, and I kind of
walked the
it
same
back.
Way because there's
I
no
thought it was,
there's no pride with being a Red Wings fan. They're bad.
So I thought, God, I wonder if I can get to 500. That sounds a little bit high. David Solomon, ace Blues reporter who used to count the attendance, I thought this is right in your wheelhouse. Give me your accurate read of what do you think that number was.
I stopped counting when I hit four figures. Once I hit 1,000, I figured game,
set, match. Did you literally count? Did you literally, 1, 2, 3?
I went for about a 30-second period in the lower bowl at the first intermission and counted just 25 in the concourse in just a small portion of the concourse alone. Then, later in the second period, I was going through the stands, going row by row, and when I was getting to sections that had, 75, 100, and I saw that, at least in the lower bowl, a few more in the lower bowl than the upper bowl, but at least in the lower bowl, you had enough of a representation and enough consistency that there is no way there were fewer than 1,000 Red Wings jerseys in that building last night.
Wow. Double the number that I had thrown out there that seemed a little bit bold at the time. Thank you, Sally, and I believe Hoff owes you a lunch for doing that.
Wait, that wasn't a part
wasn't
of
that
it.
The, no. Wasn't that, oh, Charlie owes you a lunch.
Yeah, Charlie does.
For doing that. That counts.
Is that your coffee right there? Taste test
well,
your coffee.
Here's the weird thing. So Marlo walks in and he puts down a Starbucks.
Go.
But he put it down in the middle of his seat and mine. Do you think I can presume
I don't know.
That that's for me?
Well, then he left. He's welcome to come right. on the show.
Is he not on the show today?
I thought he was. His backpack's in a chair.
But he put the coffee in a spot where I think it's mine, because I did request a coffee. It's from home. It's very nicely assembled here in a Starbucks to-go mug.
Do you drink your coffee black, or did you request cream and sugar?
I think black is fine. I'm okay. Just keeping it simple. It's more for the throat than anything else. The textures had a
You're
busy...
supposed to eat a bag of chips.
Chuck, is this for me?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it was placed in a spot where I wasn't totally clear.
You get 14 water bottles.
That's true.
Can you get him a bag of chips? Who was it? Who was the country singer who said that bags of chips is supposed to help a bad throat? The local one. The one from Missouri.
Oh, Sheryl Crow.
Sheryl Crow said
that. I wouldn't
that.
Call her a country singer, but yeah, Sheryl
Close
Crow,
enough.
To fix her throat, would often eat a bag of chips. So Frank and I have taken on that just to make sure our throats are in good shape. The textures had a busy first hour, and it seemed like, and I could be wrong, a lot of crushing of Strick, which I would never encourage or support, but it did seem like Strick was getting crushed. Is that fair, Brian?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
I didn't know if we were actually going to read those or not.
Well,
great to be here.
One
by
person.
The way.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey. One person called Strick, and I'm not sure this is transferable because Charlie is now sitting in the Strick seat, but they called him a bandwagon hack.
Wow. Not nice.
Because last week you said the slew season was a disappointment.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And then they went on that tournament run. Is it possible that it was a disappointment up until that point?
But how about this for an analogy?
Oh, I like analogies.
Somebody covering the Blues, if anyone should not write off another sports team, especially locally, it should be someone who covers your St. Louis Blues 2018-2019, when 2-3 months ago we were saying, lose for Hughes, make deals, get better for 2019-20. And now we're excited about the playoffs after we all wrote them off. You can't write off any team until they're mathematically eliminated.
I thought it was funny that Strick said that the year the Blues win the Cup is going to be a year where you don't expect it. And then he said that slew season was a disappointment because it had an unexpected tournament appearance late, which is exactly what he would say a Blue season would go to win the Stanley Cup. I would imagine when he said a year you don't expect it would be bad start, weird happenings in the middle, turn it on late, get hot at the right time, and then go on a run. Which
so
is,
did Strick say they're going to win the Cup?
I guess.
Because it's kind of a year where...
Well, the next 8 years.
You would not expect it? Is that what's going on with your St. Louis Blues? Chuck's here. Great to see you, Charlie. I know both of our teams bowed out in the NCAA tournament.
Kind of differently, though, let's be honest, if you want to really break it down.
And I mentioned this on Twitter. Chuck's my guy. I'm watching the Bradley game. My mom came over to the house, which now she's never invited back for a Marquette game
That's
based
fair.
On the outcome.
That's
hey,
fair.
Matt.
Either that or we're moving.
How about this? I watched the Bradley game with my mom. Seriously.
Did you really?
It was a great
How many beers
How many
did,
beers
you
did you guys
down?
Crush?
You know what's funny? We'll go off on a tangent real quick.
Go ahead.
You were talking earlier. I was driving in about how you were saying Monique never listens. And I'm sure my parents never listen when they're back in Ohio or my brothers and sisters. So I feel like I can kind of say anything. My mom was in town. I took her back to the airport this morning, but she was in town the last basically week, and she did listen
oh, no.
yesterday.
Oh, no.
I walk in getting back from Schnucks. She's like, yeah, I heard you talking about your mom crushing beers, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, no.
And I said, Mom, listen.
Is that the mom voice? We have the Jess voice. Now we have the mom voice.
The mom
now,
voice.
Now she's going to call later. Did you mock me with a mom voice?
Listen, my mom, straight up, my mom is cool. My mom worked her butt off for 44 years as a nurse in a neuro ICU unit. And every night, I promise you, she worked for most of her career 3 12-hour days, right? She gets home on your feet for 12 hours. She would sit down in her chair and she would pop a Labatt or two. And just that's how she kind of winded down from work.
Was it Labatt? Was it a 12-pack of Labatt you two took down the other day? Or was
this
it?
This was.
Took down.
Well, wait, what's our sponsor here of the radio station?
Anheuser
it
Bush.
Was definitely an AB product.
Okay.
It actually was Bud Light. True story.
So was she offended? Or did she say, hey, you didn't give me enough credit there. I crushed 6 of those babies.
You said you had 8 and I had 4. I think it was 7-5. No, she knows. She knows that everything on this radio show and station, over the years, she has listened to The Morning After a couple times, and I just think it's maybe not her cup of tea. But she wanted to check in.
Wow.
No, I'm just saying.
Hey, Ma, no offense. I'm going to unfollow her ass on Twitter, okay?
I'm saying what
to
we
be
do
fair,
overall,
you've never mentioned her drinking tea before, so.
Right. What we do overall, she probably doesn't care much, is what I'm saying.
My dad listened to the St. Paddy's Day show, my birthday, 2006. We were at Nick's Bar down there on Manchester.
Oh, yeah. Right by Hampton.
Kind of by Hampton.
That's by where the Hampton Studios were.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kind of right below that Taco Bell area.
Yeah.
So we're doing the show, and I had talked to my dad the day before. He said, oh, what are you doing for your birthday? And he lived in Denver. And I said, well, you can actually listen online. I think it's the early days where you just had to have your laptop and you would type it in. It wasn't on your phone. So when the show was over, I talked to him. And I said, hey, did you listen to the show? He goes, yeah, yeah. I said, you could do that every day. He goes, yeah, I think I'm good for a while. I'm like, well, no, no. And I'm thinking back that particular day, Tim was like hitting on all the waitresses, like, ooh, get over here, honey. Let's see a little of that action over here. It was a little bit of a different vibe. We didn't do that every day of the morning grind.
Just for 2 hours of the three?
Yeah, just for two of the 3 hours. So I was reflecting back and going, oh, God, maybe this wasn't the show. Like, we should have had him on when we were doing, you know, some hard-hitting journalism.
Election coverage show.
Correct.
That's when you should have had him listen.
So I said, well, Dad, it's not like that every day. He goes, yeah, I'm good for a while. You guys go ahead and do your
314.
Thing.
Hey, Ma, take me to Aeropostale. I need some new shirts.
Aeropostale, a very popular mall store back when I was in high school, circa 1997 to 2000. Is it still around?
I don't know.
Kind of a little, what, a poor man's? I don't even know if it's a poor man's Abercrombie, because I feel like it was way, way less expensive than an Abercrombie and Fitch and all those other stores.
Still open. Evidently, there is one in South County.
Kind of like an Old Navy.
Yeah.
A mall version of an Old Navy.
Is Old Navy still going? Remember
Morgan Fairchild? Old Navy's still going. Yeah.
You used to have great commercials for the holidays, dancing around.
Yeah. Seems like they've kind of scaled back their ad game.
Gap had that, too.
To be fair. We got a lot to get to, clearly. Earl Austin Jr. in mere moments from San Jose.
But I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
I don't know what we were talking about.
You were talking about we both watched our alma maters lose with our moms yesterday. And I feel bad for you guys.
So we blame the moms?
I'm going to blame my mom. I feel bad for you guys because I wanted to see Marquette advance. I really did. I just didn't think they would. The way they were trending, Bradley put up a nice fight. I was into the game, obviously. I never thought they were going to win, though. I'm getting all these texts, all these people on Twitter saying, oh, you're going to win this game. And I hate to say it, I just felt like if they weren't up about 9 or 10 or 11 points, they always had kind of that maybe a 3-point lead. It was tied. I just never thought they were going to win that game.
But it was a really fun game to watch.
Yes, it was.
And my point to you, I forgot to switch to the beginning of the Marquette game because I was locked on the Bradley game. You're my guy. And then I made a mistake by actually switching and watching the other game.
This kind of brings us back to SLU, which we're going to talk about in a second here. But I remember the year Mizzou lost to Norfolk State. So was it 12?
Yep.
Okay, 12. The first time that SLU gets back to the NCAA tournament. So we're there in Columbus, Ohio. I think it was we were getting ready to watch the SLU game, and everybody's back in the media room watching the end of Mizzou losing to Norfolk State. So we all had to watch that, of course, before we go out to watch our actual game we're covering.
And the fun fact from earlier, 2010, last time that Mizzou won a tournament game, it was with Mike Anderson. You got to go back 9 years. And for the Billikens, since then, they've won 3 tourney games, 12, 13, and 14. And joining us now, the Billiken Hall of Famer, Earl Austin Jr., live from San Jose or Santa Clara, depending on where they're staying. Earl, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing today?
You guys, are you voting in local elections? There's my frank line for the day. You've been there. You guys have been there since Tuesday.
Tuesday, yep. We were Wednesday through Sunday in New York, then home for a hot second in St. Louis, and then jumped on a big, giant yellow plane on our way here to California. So, yeah, we've been here a little while, but finally we get a chance to play the games.
And everybody,
the last game.
Yeah, and everybody said that the timing of it is perfect for a team that's not real deep, that just played 4 games in 4 days. I guess the only downside could be that you had some mojo going. What's your take on the layoff?
Oh, no, perfect. I mean, I remember last time we won the conference tournament and came here, we won on a Sunday, and then we were sent here to San Jose and played Thursday early, and I think it really hurt us. We won the first game, but then we had to play Oregon coming out of the Pac-12, a hot team, and we were dead legs, and they were very good. But this time, you play on a Sunday, and you play on the last game on Friday night. Then you got to go to California, but no, I think that's fine to get that extra day. Perfect.
But tell me about the matchup, Virginia Tech. Not a big rebounding team. Obviously, Buzz Williams, they're going to run. They're going to shoot threes. I mean, I think it's a winnable game at minimum.
Yeah, we're going to have an opportunity. We're going to have to defend and rebound at a high level, especially against this team. They're one of the best shooting teams in the country. They shoot about 48% from the field, and they shoot as a team like 39% from three-point range, which is like top five or six in the country. And they're about 77% as a team from the free throw line, and that's across the board. They got big guys, little guys, guys in the middle who can all put the ball in the basket. Their best shooter is Outlaw, 6'8 kid, 220. He shoots 46% from three-point range. Their black shooter, 6'10 center, shoots about 36%. And then a young man who played some ball in St. Louis, Nikhil Alexander Walker at St. Louis Christian Academy for a year. He's from Canada. He's their best all-around player. So it's a team that's very gifted offensively. But we're going to have to, as I say, pound the paint, pound the glass, and just turn it into a rock fight. And that's what we do best, and the tough physical type of brand of basketball.
Earl, in your opinion, is Virginia Tech, are they much better this year than last year? I bring this up because knowing SLU beat them in November of 17, and four of SLU's core players played heavy minutes in that game. Five of the Hokies' core players that are still here playing this week played in that game, and SLU wins by six. It kind of surprises me that Virginia Tech is favored by double digits in this game. Are they that much better? Because it seems like SLU's gotten better, clearly, from last year. Is Virginia Tech that much better this year than last year, or they have a bad night back in 17?
I think both teams are better than they were last year. I think Virginia Tech is better. I think we've seen Alexander Walker kid has really taken a next step. He's become one of the best players in the ACC, which is saying a lot with all the quality players there. He's versatile, about 6'5", 6'6". He leads the team in assists, shoots it well from three, puts it on the floor. And when Justin Robinson, their point guard, went out with the injury, he was one of the guys that really took a lot of that ball handling and facilitating responsibility while still scoring. So he took a positive jump as well. And I think a year older and obviously going through a conference, they did beat Duke. Obviously, was without Zion, and they finished fifth, I believe, in the ACC. I think it's just a year older, a year better, much like we are. Plus, our addition of Tremaine probably makes us a much better team than we were last year.
Is Javon Best any healthier now than he was a week ago?
I think the 7-4 days off rest, in terms of not playing, I think that helps. I mean, that's a tough grind, especially with the injuries he's been dealing with the last part of the season. But you saw the three games before the championship game, you saw him start to regain his scoring and his outside stroke, which was a big key to why we were able to win. And so in addition to Tremaine, so having an extra days and to prepare and rest a little bit, he's not 100%, obviously, but he's as good as he's going to be at this time.
Any guess as to how many Billiken fans? I know Dr. Chaffetz greenlit the, 25 students getting those packages. Do you think there's an alum? Do they have some alums kind of in that area that they can recruit to show up?
We have them everywhere. In probably San Francisco, San Jose, Santa Clara, I'm sure. Maybe in SoCal. I'm sure we do have some good Billiken faithful. Everywhere we went on the East Coast, in the A-10, we saw a lot of Billiken alums, and I think they have a couple of events here around, I think, downtown to kind of get things ready for the game and everything. So I'm sure we'll see a pretty good Billiken contingent. It was a great one in New York, and I think we'll have a pretty solid one here today.
Earl, do you know or has Travis Ford talked at all about kind of their schedule today? I'm just thinking, if you're these guys that have never played in the NCAA tournament, and I know some of them have, but if you've never played, you're super excited. It's kind of like, it's Christmas Eve last night, and then you wake up, and then you look, and you aren't playing until 11 p.m. local time, the last game of the first round. Anything they're doing to try to, I don't know whether it's sleep or naps or eating, to get ready for this game, knowing they have to wait all day and night?
I think they have a walkthrough this morning. They've had practices in the afternoon the last 2 days, but I think they'll have some kind of walkthrough late morning, I guess 11 or so. And then just come back and prepare. I think what helped our first two games in the Atlantic 10 tournament, we started at about 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. We were the last game and a couple of those other, it was 8:30 starts, but a couple of games for us kind of ran a little bit long. So we took the court in New York twice, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. It was about 9 p.m. local time. So they're used to playing the late night action from Brooklyn, so I don't think that is that big of an adjustment. Now, it's a different time zone, obviously, but they're used to waiting all day and preparing and then taking that court last.
And Earl, just getting to the NCAA tournament, do you think that wipes away the disappointment that the regular season was? And we understand some of the factors involved, but do you think once you get there, if you're SLU, is that enough to say it's a success?
Absolutely. For me, it is. That's the bottom line, is to get there. When you're in a league and say you win 27 games and say you lose and don't get that NCAA tournament bid, you'd be heartbroken. It would be heartbreaking. But obviously, it was a lot of ups and downs. But winning those four games in New York, and obviously, I don't recommend that for every team to try to do that to get to the NCAA tournament. I'd have been very good with 27-3 and go in knowing that you're an at-large team like Virginia Commonwealth was. I'm cool with that. That's the way we were in 2014. But the bottom line is to get there and not only do and hang a championship banner in Chaffetz next season, and that makes it all good.
And for what it's worth, SLU, in four of their last five tournament trips, they have won that opening round game. It happened in 98. It happened in 12, 13, and 14. The exception would have been that 2000 team with Romar, I guess. That was the last miracle conference tournament run. They got beat by Rick Majerus, weirdly enough, in the tournament. So there's a little bit of history there for SLU. And I think, again, it says 4 versus 13, but I don't think it's that type of mismatch.
No, it isn't. Like you say, they played before last year. That's one thing. We can't sneak up on Virginia Tech. They know that we're pretty good, and that's one thing I'm sure they have in their cap. You know, you see a lot of teams like John Morant. It's one thing Marquette read about him, knew about him, but it's one thing to see him in person dunking on your 6'10 guy in person.
Yeah, we get it. We get it. I understand, Earl. Thank you. I understand. He's good, okay? I saw it, okay?
By the neck and testing him. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I did see it. Thanks. I saw it. He's like the darling of the whole damn tournament now. Every freaking clip they're showing is him dunking all over our guys.
But the best plays were the simple chest passes he was making. Those were the best plays that he made. Everybody looked when he cocked it behind his head and put his chest in the twins. Everybody knows that one. But just a simple chest pass, bounce pass. Those are the best plays he made.
I could have sworn we booked him to talk SLU, not to recap the game yesterday.
He just had to somehow. We were in the Western region here of the Eastern bracket, and he somehow got us back to Ja freaking Morant. And, I mean, the game's a nail-biter. We lose at the buzzer, and he brings that up on a day after that heartbreaking defeat. Earl, who do you have – who do you got winning at all?
I really haven't filled out a bracket. I'm full tunnel vision, but, I mean, who's going to pick against Duke? I mean, Gonzaga's really good. I think they that was just a minor hiccup against St. Mary's. They're as good as any team around. It'll probably be one of the blue bloods, Duke, North Carolina, Gonzaga. It'll be interesting. I'd like to see a Murray or Wofford do kind of pull a Loyola, at least get to the second weekend, do a few things. That's always a lot of fun as well when one of the non-blue bloods gets in there.
And how about the fact Wofford was the favorite? Like, it wasn't even an upset. That was even better.
Not even close. The Seton Hall made a little run in the second half, but Wofford's tough. You know, Fletcher McGee's a great shooter, but he's got good point guard, good shooters around him. And then they got about three or four big guys around that basket, 6'8", 6'9", who can all score and rebound, and they all get one-on-one because you got to get out there to their shooters. So, no, they were legit. Even Lenardi, even as an at-large, had they lost to Greensboro, they probably would have fallen just to about an 8 or 9 type seed. Instead, they were a 7.
It's a Earl Tem update via the radio, but you can check out Earl, and he's got a lot of great interviews. The St. Louis kids, three of them that are on the Kansas State roster, they're also out there. Bruce Weber's team playing in San Jose, and you can check Earl out on Twitter. Give everybody a little reminder where to look and who your sponsors are on the Earl Tem update.
Thank you. It's at Earl Austin Jr. on Twitter, and my sponsors are former Billiken great Joe Wiley at Quest Management Consultants, and former Billiken standout Troy Robertson at Robertson Petcher Real Estate Services. They've been supporting my Earl Time Update Billiken reports throughout the season, and I really appreciate it.
Earl, the awesome one, Earl Austin Jr., checking in with us. Have a great trip in San Jose. We'll talk to you Monday about the Sweet 16.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to it.
All right.
Thanks,
that's
sir.
Earl from San Jose. We've got extended Billiken's coverage for you. That's coming up at 2 o'clock, a two-hour special looking ahead to the SLU game. We'll replay that right in time for a tip-off. That's going to be from 7 till 9. It's brought to you by ITD, and we ask this question. Does your tire dealer know your name? If not, head to your local independent tire dealer shop where you're going to receive personalized service. Your local independent tire dealer, place where you'll receive dependable service performed by dependable people. All of their shops committed to helping guide you through the tire buying maze. ITD, featuring General Tires, get up to a $70 Visa prepaid, one of those prepaid cards. With the purchase of 4 qualifying General Tires, that's going on now until April 30th. Find your local independent tire dealer at itdroll.com. And Hoff, some of our other great sponsors.
Martin, we have the Gatesworth, the finest in senior living. I wonder if they're having a SLU watch party tonight down at the Gatesworth at 1 McKnight Place in Clayton. And also a sponsor of the SLU show is Mike's Automotive. They've been serving the St. Louis area since 1976. And Mike's Automotive, they provide accurate, knowledgeable, and friendly service. The experienced mechanics working at Mike's Auto can restore the drivability to your vehicle while keeping you on the road with preventative maintenance, too. Visit Mike's Automotive to start experiencing the kind of customer service and quality repairs you expect from an automotive repair facility. Mike's Automotive has multiple locations to serve you. Find yours at mikesautomotive.net and the Bomarito Automotive Group, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at bomarito.com, and plenty of locations around the St. Louis area. Missouri's number one automotive group.
Still have 5 for Chuck on deck. And then in the noon hour, coveted hour, David Quidall, who wrote the piece about the Misha media relations sort of... the poor relation that exists. I want to see what he has heard from them and what kind of feedback he's gotten since the piece that was written at the Post-Dispatch. We'll get into that in the noon hour, all coming up here on 590 The Fan.